Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us. 800-531-3815, toll free coast to coast. Stephen Brell is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's our new friend and first time on the show. He's a columnist with Newsweek magazine and an analyst for NBC on related issues to the aftermath of September 11th. As many of you will remember, he founded the cyber magazine called Brell's Content, and I should say a magazine about the media. And he's the author of a new book called After: How America Confronted the September 12th Era. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Stephen, many of us remember where we were when different things happened. I wasn't around when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, but my parents talk about knowing where they were when that happened. You and I remember where we were when a number of things happened, like President Kennedy's assassination, that sort of thing. But 9-1-1 is beyond something that we just remember where we were. It's almost everything in our lives these days is before 9-1-1 and after 9-1-1, isn't it?
That's true, and I think because it was the end of a certain kind of innocence for all of us. We suddenly lived in a country that could be in danger from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened before.
Was it the end of an innocence or was it the end of an ignorance?
And both.
Both, wasn't it?
Was it? Both. And it had profound effects on every aspect of our lives and every aspect of our business lives and our personal lives.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. And the book is an attempt to explain how we came back, how we, to the extent we did, how we recovered. And what I do is I take a cross-section of Americans whose paths coincidentally cross during the year after September 11th, and by telling the story of their lives, I hope it seems to be working in terms of the book catching on. I tell the story of how this country really works. For example, one of the characters is an unlikely character for a book like this. He's a man who runs a small company in Silicon Valley, who wakes up that morning to news about the attacks and realizes that the company he runs is going to go through profound change because it's a company that he had founded several years before to use new technology to make equipment that checks for explosive materials in luggage. And suddenly that becomes a big deal in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And his biggest challenge goes from convincing the federal government that there's a need for these machines to figuring out how he's going to ramp up and produce all these machines and how he can do it before the government actually formally and legally gives him a contract to do it. How does he get the subcontractors? How does he hire the people? On September 10th, he just completed a whole other round of layoffs because his company basically was failing, wasn't working. And on September 12th, he knew that he was going to have to make as many of these machines as he possibly could, and even that wasn't going to be enough.
Mm-hmm. You know, and folks, the book is a chronology. I mean, it's laid out in chronological order. And what was it, 300? How many 300 and something people that you interviewed for the book?
That's right. And I ended up choosing 20 of them as the main characters, and they're the vehicle by which I tell the poignant, scary, and reassuring story of how the country really works.
Well, and folks, the thing that I think you'll like about the book is you'll find yourself in here. Every one of us will find somebody in this book that we identify with since 9-1-1. Stephen, why were we so surprised by the attack on September the 11th? Why was America so surprised? Let me ask you that about Americans, and then I'll ask you about if and why our leaders were surprised. Tell us about Americans first.
Well, I'll tell you, we shouldn't have been surprised in terms of the information that we had beforehand. A presidential commission led by former Senators Gary Hart and Warren Rudman had said in a report they issued in the year 2000, America's biggest threat is that it will come under attack from an outside terrorist organization, and thousands of Americans will lose their lives on American soil.
Mm-hmm.
So that and
but that wasn't widely distributed. That wasn't widely distributed, was it?
It was widely distributed. It's just that the media didn't bother to go to the press conference.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it didn't get into the mainstream mind of America.
It got a small story in some of the national publications. It didn't make it onto the national news because we had to worry about.
Stephen. Stand by. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Stephen Brill, folks. His book is called After. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up at the show straight ahead, Joe Condrell will be joining us. We're going to be talking about what it means to be an entrepreneur with Joe. After that, Wilma Goldstein, who's the assistant administrator at the SBA, along with Michael Ermine, who is a banker. We're going to talk to those two together about how to help you get a loan from banks using the SBA guarantees. We're going to talk about that, and that's coming up in the next hour. And I'll tell you about the rest of the week a little bit later on. I want to get back to our new friend, Stephen Brill, who's the author of After, How America Confronted the September 12 Era. And, Stephen, I had to interrupt you a minute ago. You were finishing up a comment about why we were surprised about the 9/11 attack, and you were saying that the Rudman Hart report had come out, and you guys actually covered that in Brill Content, didn't you?
Yeah, and there were lots of other reports
before 9/11.
Saying the same thing. Yeah, and there were lots of other reports saying the same thing, but we were busy worrying about, whether some congressman in California we never heard of had an affair with his intern.
Right.
And, Governor
Jim Gilmore, who's the chairman of the Gilmore Commission on Terrorism and Weapons of Mass Destruction, his commission was actually founded in 1999. He'd already given the Congress a report before September 11th.
That's right. That's
so exactly we had all right. this information. Why weren't we ready, Stephen?
We weren't ready because you can blame a lot of people and a lot of institutions. You can blame the press, but I don't think they deserve full blame. You can blame the public because enough of this was out there that people could have paid attention and demanded action. And you can blame political leaders for not leading and not working hard enough to make this the kind of national issue mm-hmm. and national priority in terms of expense that it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, on the morning of September 11th, you could have gone into a gift shop at any airport in the country behind the security line and bought a knife.
Yeah.
It was selling them there. Now, that's just stupid, but the FAA and the airlines didn't want to inconvenience airline passengers by not letting them, bring knives onto airplanes.
Yeah.
And whose fault is that? Well, it's the airline's fault. It's the FAA's fault. It's the political leader's fault, and it's and in a democracy, it always ends up being the people's fault.
Stephen, before we go any further, have you got a companion website for the book?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But the Simon & Schuster website has all kinds of information on the book.
And folks, if you're going to any of the online bookstores, it's Brill, Stephen with a V, Brill, and just type that in. Or if you go to your local bookstore, ask them for the book. I'm sure it's there. If it's not, it'll be there soon.
It's funny, given the interest of your listeners, that one of the struggles I had with my editor initially was that I insisted on making a major part of this book, which is a book about how we came back from the terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
A major part of this book is about businesses. And there are two business people who are lead characters in this book. One, as I said, runs this Silicon Valley company that has struggled to sell this equipment that is now installed at airports called InVision Technologies. You now see their piece of equipment everywhere,
mm-hmm.
but you sure didn't see it everywhere 2 years ago.
Right.
And the other is the manager of the Memphis airport in mm-hmm. Memphis, Tennessee. And he has to do what business people always have to do in times of crisis. He goes around and makes sure that The thermostats are low. It's a 66 degrees from 68 degrees to save money on heat. He puts in 60-watt bulbs instead of 75-watt bulbs. Mm-hmm. He freezes salaries. He sits down with the unions, opens up his books, and says, listen, here's the problem. We don't have any passengers, because when an airport doesn't have passengers, the gift shops and the concessions don't have customers, and the airport's revenue is based in part on a percentage that they get from all the concessions and from the parking.
Well, and my audience is nodding their head all over the place, Stephen, because, you know, directly or indirectly, we've all been affected by this. But, you know, Stephen, one of the things that I wanted to, and by the way, that's one of the reasons I was interested in having you on the show about your book. And I want to thank you for the way you focused on the business community and the economy in your book, because I think that was an important thing to do. But the one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we talked about is how Americans are handling post 9/11. Have we moved on from that? I mean, we've had so many other challenges since then. As you know, we've had, you know, all the different things. I mean, it seems like we've had a 3-year period where we've had one calamity a quarter. And do you think Americans are dealing with this well?
I think they are. I think we're resilient. And this book is a story of the American system and American resilience working. You could argue that almost every calamity we've had since 9/11 in some way relates to 9/11. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the war does. And obviously, all our economic issues in some way or another, whether we would have had a recession or not, is beside the point. But all of our economic issues, the daily headlines we read about the travel industry, which affect so many small businesses, because when people don't travel, it's just, you know, the ripple effects are mm-hmm. unbelievable. All that stuff's related to the uncertainty and the fear produced by the terrorist attacks.
You know, there was a Romanian columnist wrote an article about 6 months ago in a Romanian paper, and he was asking the question, why would Americans respond almost as one human being to the events of 9/11? Why in the world would they do that? He was perplexed by that at first, and then he answered his own question. He said, the only thing I can figure out is it's freedom. It's the miracle of freedom. And when we come back, I'm going to get you to give us some more information on how people have dealt with how America has confronted the September 12 era, which, folks, by the way, is a subtitle of Stephen Brill's book, After. I'm going to ask Stephen when we come back also if the Homeland Security Department was a good idea, and is Tom Ridge the right man for the job? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back at 7 till. We're visiting with our new friend Stephen Brill, who's going to be back with us another day. He's agreed to come back and talk to us some more about what he has to say in his new book called After, How America Confronted the September 12th Era. And, folks, I do recommend this book to you. It's the way he's laid it out, it's a huge book. It's over 700 pages. But, Stephen, the way you've laid this out, it really lends itself to reading a couple of pages, and if you have to, lay it down and come back. I like that about the way you've laid it out, because of the chronology. You can actually read about one day and come back to it another time.
No, thank you.
I want to talk on Monday. You and I'm trying to think. Michael Barone. Who was the other guy on C-SPAN? The other guy with you
Howard Feynman.
Feinberg. Anyway, Feynman. I'm sorry, Howard Feynman. And Stephen Brill, folks, interviewed Tom Ridge, the Secretary of Homeland Defense, on C-SPAN, and I was watching that live, and you guys did a good job, and I thought he did a good job, too. Talk to us first about whether you think the Homeland Security Department, the way it has been put together, if it's the right thing and if they're doing their job.
I do think it's the right thing, and the book, Ridge is one of the major characters in the book, and it chronicles his own struggle to, you know, starting out with leaving his family in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. In the space of 21 hours, he makes a decision to leave his governorship, leave his family back in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where his kids are in school for the school mm-hmm. year, and commute to Washington. You know, he comes home to Harrisburg every weekend. And the first thing that happens is, guess what? His wife has to get a job.
Yeah.
Because They have to find a home in Harrisburg because he has to move out of the governor's mansion, and he has to find an apartment in Washington. He comes to Washington, and the press and all the pundits say, well, he's not going to have any power, because you'll recall at that point he was the president's Homeland Security advisor.
Right.
And people sort of make fun of him, and he just keeps his head down and works away and works away. And finally, he and the president cook up this big idea, which is much bigger than all the little reform ideas everybody had been talking about, of taking all these agencies and putting them into a department. And the president basically says to him, write a clean slate. Make believe we're organizing the government at the beginning of the government, like starting all over. What would you put in this department? Mm-hmm. And he and about four or five of his aides, meeting in the basement of the White House with some White House people, cook up this new agency. And I do think it's a good thing. I think it's starting to show, even now, a little bit of progress. I think it'll have a lot of effect on the INS, the Immigration Naturalization Service, which is a disaster, terrible agency. Perpetually.
Well, it's one of the. It was one. We can lay some blame at them, I think, for 9/11 to a degree. I mean, they had a lot of lot to do with that, I think. What about
Just to finish the point, okay. The consolidation makes sense. The management flexibility and management reforms that he's pushing down through this agency are starting to show a little bit. And I think he's a good, tough guy who keeps his head down and does the work and ignored all the experts in Washington who said he was never going to have any power and he was this naive hick from Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, that answers my question about whether you think he's the right man for the job, and I'm glad to hear you say that, and because I have felt pretty, I've been pretty impressed with him myself. What about companies that are in a position? They've just found themselves in the position, like the guy in the tech company out in Silicon Valley, like that guy who was just sitting there, with a with an opportunity waiting to happen, and also some people who have emerged with since 9/11. What about those companies?
I happen to think that's a very good thing. Let me give you another example. Another character in the book is a vice president from Raytheon, the big aerospace contractor. And on September 12th, he talks with the CEO of Raytheon, and they decide very quietly that they're going to explore starting a whole new Homeland Security division. Now, this sounds like, dancing on a grave. But what they really were doing was... doing business in a way that was publicly responsible and, and responsible to their shareholders, didn't do anything unethical, just the same as there were all kinds of small businesses that had products that they could adapt to this new period.
Look at the little flag companies.
The flag companies, but I attended, there's a scene in the book where there's an expo in Washington at the Senate Office Building of all the new Homeland Security ventures. To give you an example, someone created software so that all the colleges and universities that had to comply with new regulations about keeping records of foreign students started a software company that does that. That's a good thing. This kind of innovation is good.
Good visit today, Stephen. I hope you'll come back. We just got so much more to talk
about.
Thank you. Stephen Brill, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called After, How America Confronted the September 12 Era. It's fascinating. I think you'll like it. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post around the world. God bless you. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.